Attention to the reading of Holy Scripture from Psalm 107, verses 1 through 9, and verses 23 through 32. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble, and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wonderful works to the sons of men. For He satisfies him who is thirsty, and the hungry He fills with good things. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, His wondrous works in the deep. For He commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men, and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they had quiet, and He brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wonderful works to the sons of men. Let them extol Him to the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. Thus ends the Old Testament reading.
Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, from the 14th chapter, beginning with verse 22. Then He, Jesus, made the disciples get out of the boat and go before Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowds. And after He had dismissed the crowds, He went up into a hill by Himself to pray. When evening came, He was there alone. But the boat by this time was many furlongs distant from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, He came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately He spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, have no fear." And Peter answered Him, "Lord, if it be You, bid me come to You on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "O man of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." May the reading of this word be blessed to our need and to his glory. Amen.
Dr. Drummond, esteemed faculty, friends of Southeastern Seminary, and fellow students, the graduating class of December 1990 appreciates deeply the investment that all of you have made in our education. And we want to give a little something back to the seminary to reflect that care and concern that you showed for us. And so we have gathered this gift together to be used for typewriters for student use, and it'll be placed in the library. And we trust that students beyond us in years to come will be able to use this gift in their seminary preparation. Dr. Drummond.
Thank you so very much. We do accept this gift with the gratitude of our heart, and we're grateful that it will be the kind of a gift that will benefit students down through the years ahead. On behalf of the seminary and its entire family, we thank you very much.
Honored graduates, relatives and friends, beloved colleagues. I'm grateful for the honor of this speaking at this occasion, but I'm looking and I see preachers on my left and preachers on my right, and I'm not a preacher. In fact, I feel like a lion in a den of Daniels. What a day it had been, one of tremendous excitement. Jesus had fed 5,000 men and uncounted women and children. Then a day of waiting, while Jesus went up on the mountain by himself to pray. He asked them to get into the boat and go before him to the other side. They became restless and impatient when the storm came up on the Sea of Galilee. They were soaked and cold. It is around 3 in the morning, according to Matthew, when Jesus comes to them. One of them thought it was a ghost. Scared to death, putting into words what others would hardly dare think, Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you on the water." Now that's a strange thing to say. I probably would have said, "Lord, if it is you, make this storm stop." But Peter proposes a test. "Bid me come to where you are. Let me join you on the water. Show me what you can do, what I can do, if only you tell me to. Take away my doubt. Make me have faith." Barbara Brown Taylor, in her provocative little book, The Seeds of Heaven, says, "It is hard not to love Peter. There is something so sincere about him, so achingly familiar. He is not a fake. He is so brash and passionate. He's always rushing into things, saying what others are only thinking and doing what others would not dare. Through all his ups and downs, all his great moments and his weak ones, Peter's heart is on his sleeve. What you see is what you get with him, an impetuous, outspoken man who both loves Jesus and lets him down, who richly deserves Jesus' judgment, but also receives his grace. Thank goodness for Peter. Right or wrong, he's always the first one out of the gate, the first one to leave his fishnet and follow Jesus. The first one out of the boat to walk on water. The first to volunteer his opinion on any given subject. Sometimes it's hard to say whether he is courageous or just plain reckless. But in any case, his request is just what Jesus is waiting for. Because in one fell swoop, Jesus says, "Come." Peter swings his legs over the side of the boat, and while the other disciples watch with their hearts beating in their mouths, he puts his feet flat on top of the water and takes a huge, trembling breath and stands. Peter was willing to try the impossible because Jesus called. He didn't take time to consider the theological implications of his action. I charge you to be as courageous as Peter and answer Jesus' call without regard to political expediency or personal security. Peter was willing to risk his life to walk close to Jesus. Are you? Total commitment is exciting and exhilarating. Then Peter takes a few steps, hesitant, toward Jesus across the heaving surface, like the first steps of childhood. And he's doing fine till a gust of wind almost topples him. He is so frightened, and he feels his feet sinking into the black waves. He says, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reaches out with grace and catches him. What if Peter had not sunk? Barbara Taylor says, "It might even be a better story, but it would not be a story about us. The truth about us is far more complicated. The truth about us is that we obey and fear. We walk and sink. We believe and doubt. But it's not like we do only one or the other. We do both. Our faith and our doubt exist in us at the same time, lifting us up and bearing us down, giving us courage and feeding our fears. Which is why we need Jesus. Which is why we would not attempt impossible things without him. If we never sank, if we could walk on water just fine all by ourselves, we would not need a Savior." Doubt is the opposite to trust. Doubt is the devil's strongest answer to trust. Peter diverted his eyes from Jesus and saw the raging waves. His faith sagged, and so did his body. When he looked at his predicament, he could not save himself. And as he began to sink, he reached out. Jesus did what he still does. He reached out tenderly and lifted him up. Jim Lee says, "The Lord responds with grace, but you must reach out to him." Only full commitment will bring full joy. Stay in the boat of safety and never know full faith. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for them who will trust and obey. Partial commitment compromises life lived to its fullest, not only in faith, but in relationships and work. Jesus may tolerate partial commitment, but we deny ourselves full fellowship with Jesus. Some of you are on a spiritual plateau. In order to reach the mountaintop, you must go through a valley. One of the men seated behind me was a professor of agricultural engineering in a large state university when Christ called him. He left his comfortable boat with his wife and three children and enrolled at Southeastern Seminary. A PhD became a beginning student in the Bachelor of Divinity degree program. Several of you have similar stories. Perhaps you will settle into productive work in an affluent church, and Christ will call you out of your comfortable boat to a risky new mission. Dr. Wayne Brown, who sat where you're sitting three times, left a large church in his home state to go to begin new churches in the New Jersey and New York City area. a risky proposition for his family and career. Jesus did not promise to make the way easy for them, but he did promise that he would go with them and give them strength and wisdom to grow in the faith and to become more effective and useful ministers. Some people use the church to inoculate themselves against total commitment, like a vaccination. They get a small dose of religion every week or two, and this protects them from the hard work of a life of full commitment. Sometimes something shakes us from our comfortable life. When this happens, we can grow stronger with the helping hand of Jesus, or we can sink into despair. Thousands of lives have been shaken by Iraq's savage invasion of peaceful Kuwait. Families have been torn apart. Our strength is not sufficient for these perilous times. We must turn our eyes to Jesus. When you ask for Jesus' hand, he will reach out in the still of night or the rush of day. Friends, today is a high point in your journey, and you will remember it and the people who have helped you along the journey as long as you live. I borrowed the title, Get Out of the Boat, from one of Jim Lee's excellent sermons, but I'm going to give it back to him and call this effort Faith, Failure, and Fulfillment. I am really glad that Peter is in charge of heaven's gates. Someone like him understands sinners like us. People who go ahead and say things and then regret them. People who rush in and try things and often fail. Peter, you, I, we may fall exhausted onto the slippery deck, and all at once the wind ceases and the waves hush, and in the awesome silence of that night becoming day, all of us who are in this boat together worship him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God.
I think we should ordain him as a preacher. Thank you, Dr. Johnson. That was informative, inspiring, and challenging, and we are grateful for that. We now come to the time of the conferring of the degrees, and we desire to recognize the family and friends of all who are our graduates. If you are a member of the family or a visiting friend of any of these students, we want you to stand when his or her name is called and remain standing until the diploma has been received. We are now ready to confer the degrees upon the candidates approved by the faculty. Dean Bush.
The Associate of Divinity degree was designed for men and women who responded to the call of Christian service somewhat later than other students and after a career in some other field. It is a program of study including biblical, historical, theological, and ministry areas taught on the beginning college level and leading to the Associate of Divinity degree. The purpose of the program is to equip men and women with basic knowledge and skills so that they can serve effectively as pastors, bivocational ministers, or church leaders. The Associate of Divinity curriculum is composed of courses similar to those in the Master of Divinity curriculum. They are taught on the college level by the same faculty members who teach the courses on the master's level. The degree requires 56 semester hours of work or a minimum of 2 years to complete. President Drummond, I present to you the candidates who have completed all the requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the Associate of Divinity degree, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty, and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I confer upon each of you the degree Associate of Divinity, with all of the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the marshal, as your name is called, you will come forward to receive your diploma.
Michael Wayne Harrell. Matilda Ann Reed. Kenneth E. Seeley, Jr.
Congratulations and God's blessings upon your ministry. Dean Bush.
Mr. President, the Master of Arts in Christian Education degree was designed to be completed in 2 academic years. The program consists of 64 semester hours, including 32 semester hours of foundational studies and 24 semester hours of specifically Christian education courses as prescribed. President Drummond, I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Master of Arts in Christian Education, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty, by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, I confer upon each of you the degree Master of Arts in Christian Education, with all of the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Now, under the direction of the marshal, as your name is called, you will come forward, please, to receive your diploma.
Ronald W. Freeman. Jeffrey A. Jacobs. Elaine Alling Lilliston. Elizabeth Rayner Santana.
Congratulations to each of you, and may our Lord's blessings attend your ministry. Thank you. Dean Bush.
Mr. President, the Master of Divinity degree prepares men and women for leadership in Christian ministry. The program is designed to be completed within 3 years of full-time study or 88 semester hours. It consists of basic core courses in theological and ministry disciplines and elective courses to achieve a well-rounded theological education with some specialization for ministry. Most students of the seminary enroll for the Master of Divinity program as their graduate professional degree. Southeastern Seminary offers two specializations of the Master of Divinity degree, one in Christian education and the other in church music. Candidates for these specialized degrees accomplish the basic Master of Divinity requirements and use their elective courses to achieve the specialties in these two areas. President Drummond, I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Master of Divinity, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty, and by the authority vested in me by the Board of Trustees of this institution, it's my joy to confer upon each of you the degree Master of Divinity, with all of the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Under the leadership of the direction of the marshal, you, as your name is called, you will please come forward to receive your diploma.
Robert Carroll Arendt. Terence Roy Barlow. Ronald Anton Branch. Jeffrey Lynn Brooks. Richard Cosby Butler. James Roy Cagle. Michael Clinton Cates. Ronald Stephen Cava. John David Ure. Marilyn L. Evans. P. Douglas Fields. Robert L. Pfeiffer. Charles Lee Fox. Timothy John Gold. Daniel Aaron Graves, Sr. Dwight Hunt Hackett. Norman Lee Harris. William Hazel Height. Philip Graham Holmes. Ralph Edward Jett. Stephen Douglas Martin. Mary Elizabeth Mullenix. Chester Warren Raines. Joseph Dupree Sanders. Worth A. Springs is being graduated in absentia. John Franklin Pierce Thompson III. Jeffrey Keith Vogler. Craig Stevens Walker. Jasper Newton Watson III. Robert Dewey Wells, Jr. is being graduated in absentia. Stephen Barclay Wingfield. Kevin Ray Woody. Arthur Orland Yunt. Jonathan Davis Deckel. Douglas Ray Thompson. Kenneth Charles Cook. Thomas Paul Haney. Melton Wayne Johnson. Jan Kenimer Manley. Jim Eric Morgan III. Claude Russell Morrison Jr. Daniel Garrison Tilley. John D. Watson, Sr. Michael John Wayner.
Again, congratulations to you. May our Lord's presence attend your ministry. God bless you. Dean Bush.
Mr. President, the purpose of the Doctor of Ministry program is to equip students for the practice of ministry at the high level of professional competency. Candidates for this degree have completed the Master of Divinity degree or its equivalent with high academic achievement and have demonstrated competence and potential for ministry. As a general rule, they have had at least 2 years of professional experience prior to beginning the DMIN program and must be engaged in ministry throughout enrollment for the Doctor of Ministry degree. The work is composed of classes and seminars, ministry under supervision, a specific project in ministry, a report on which is submitted to a faculty committee for evaluation and examination. The Doctor of Ministry degree is the highest degree that is awarded by this institution. President Drummond, I present to you the candidates who have completed all requirements and who have been approved by the faculty for the degree Doctor of Ministry, that you may confer upon them that degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty, by the authority vested in me by the trustees of this institution, I confer upon each of you the degree Doctor of Ministry, with all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities thereunto appertaining. Under the direction of the marshal, as your name is called, you will come forward to be invested with the Doctor of Ministry hood and to receive your diploma.
Dwayne Eakes. Lonnie Joseph Fawcett, Jr. Chester Henry Holmes, Jr. Robert Jackson Martin. Ron Alexander Milne is being graduated in absentia. Shelton Murphy. Michael Gammon Pack. and Bam Pam. Mark Reginald Warren.
Congratulations, doctors. Thank you. We'll now turn to the litany of mission that you will find in your program, and you will join in as indicated. You who are gathered here today as graduates are not here by simple accident of circumstance. But it is not enough simply to become equipped, for the work lies before you. This too is the word of the Lord. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. The same journey of faith that led you here now leads you to other places around the world. You go to exercise the gifts that God has given to you and to employ the knowledge gained through study. But even this will not be enough. Faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. The Seminary Hymn.
May the Father of lights pour out his grace upon you. May you feel his hand in everything that you do and be strengthened by the things that he brings you through. May the Son of God be Lord in all your ways. May he shepherd you the length of all your days. And in your hearts, may he receive the praise. Despite how simple it may sound, I pray that his grace will abound and motivate everything you do. And may the fullness of his love be shared through you. May his spirit comfort and make you strong. May he discipline you gently when you are wrong. And in your heart, may he give you a song. This is our prayer and our blessing for you, my friends and my brothers and sisters, the graduating class of 1990. In the name of God the Creator, the name of Jesus Christ our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit our Sustainer. Amen and amen.